a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
Welcome to the Organic Grow Show with Denny Dank.
Hello, all you ganja gurus. This is Denny Dank, and you're listening to the Organic Grow Show. Welcome to show number 3. That's right, we're on a roll, people. We're still trying to iron out all the kinks. I think that being my first couple of times podcasting, I think I'm doing pretty good here. Not too bad. Send me your emails. Let me know what you think of what's going on so far. So for today's show, we're going to talk some more about equipment in your garden. On the last show, we were just mainly talking about the soil. Today, we're going to talk more about the needs of the plant. Before I start the show, I did get an email. This is the first email ever, and this is also the first listener. So this email is from Jamie from the seedshare.net message boards. If you don't know about the seedshare.net, it's a great place that you can go to get some awesome genetics. It's basically you can trade your seeds for other seeds there. So if you're making your own seeds, you know, this is a great way to diversify your collection of stuff that you have. You know, this is great for any home growers that are just looking for the best plant they can find out there. And it's a wonderful community. I highly recommend that you check out the seedshare.net. So this email is from Jamie, and he says, "Hey, bro. I just checked out your podcast. I look forward to hearing more from you. Your voice sounds so familiar, I could actually sit and listen to you with ease as if talking to an old friend. I hope that it catches on and more people listen. I've always used sterile soil mixes and just recently switched over to organics. It's hard to accumulate good products around here, and by the time you've ordered and paid shipping, you've spent a fortune. So I'm just using Alaska Fish for right now, and it's fairly good. I was using the Alaska Fish More Bloom 01010, and it has chlorine in it. My plant started to show damage on the outer edge. The fact the microbes suffered, so it caused it great harm, and it seems to be getting worse. Anyway, I'm babbling right now. I'll talk with you later, bro. Be safe and take care." Thank you, Jamie, for your email. Really appreciate that. Your compliments there. I put a lot into the show, and I really appreciate what you had to say. You know, it means a lot to me. I do want it to be very accessible for people, so hopefully that they can walk away and be more in tune with the plant, and be able to provide what the plant needs or in an organic fashion. Because I mean, organics isn't just about growing a great tasting harvest. It's also about the planet. When you grow organically, you're more in touch with the soil and nature, so you're not going to be causing any kind of chemicals to go leach into the water sources. That's a bad problem, you know, especially with the nitrates. And organic, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff, and it's worth it. It is actually pretty expensive. It's more expensive than chemical, and that's what this show's about, you know. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about tips on how to save some money when you're doing organics. The fish fertilizer, that's a really cheap fertilizer. You get a lot of bang for your buck with that. It's a pretty potent nitrogen source, so that's a good way to start out right there. And you're absolutely right about damaging the microbes in your soil. If there's any chlorine at all that you give to the soil, it's gonna damage it, and it'll kill majority of the life in the soil, if not all of it. And yeah, the what you're using is Alaska More Bloom fish fertilizer, and it has some potassium added to it and some phosphorus added to it that are chemicals. And as well as, I hadn't heard that there's chlorine in it, but you know, that's a new one to me. And it sounds like you could be right there. And that chlorine, yeah, just wiped out your microbe life. And when your microbe life isn't happy, then your plant's not going to be happy. And it sounds like that's what happened there. You got some leaf defects going on. And so what I would recommend to you is probably to use with the fish fertilizer is a bat guano. That's perfect. I like the Fox Farm Big Bloom. That's all natural. It's got some bat guano and some earthworm casings. It's really, really good stuff. That would work perfectly for you. And there's some other ones out there. Extreme Serene's really, it's a good product from Roots Organics. And that's one that I like to use. As well as General Hydroponics. They have a brand new line of organics called General Organics, and I've been working with that for the past grow that I have going on right now, and I'm really happy with the results so far. It's a really good line, and my plants seem to love it. It's a little on the weak side, but you know, just double up your dose on it, and it's great. It's a great product. Check that out. So thanks for your email, Jamie. I really appreciate it. I hope to hear more from you, and I hope to hear more from other people. Give us an email. Send the email to dennydank@gmail.com, and I don't care what you want. You can ask me something. You can just let me know what you think about the show. Anything at all, a suggestion, just whatever you got, send it my way. On with the show. We're going to talk about the basic needs of the plant. The most important need that your plant has is photosynthesis. And in order to do photosynthesis, you need light. And also, after the light, I think the most important thing is going to be water. And another thing to think about with your plant is the nutrients. It's going to need some nutrients. You have to feed it so that it can get bigger. And you also need to factor in your environment. You know, you can get all the basic needs down, your water, your nutrients, your light. But in the end, the environment's also going to play a major role. Lighting. Like I said, light is the most important thing in your garden. The more light you give your plant, the more energy that plant is going to produce. Energy equals yield. So light is very important. Types of lights that are out there. You got your high intensity discharge lights, which is a metal halide and high pressure sodium. Those are the most popular lights to use. They're a bit expensive, so I would look into things like Craigslist or eBay if you're just starting out and try to find some used lights. Now these lights, they come with your ballast and you need a light bulb. You can just use that, but I also recommend that you pick up a reflector. And with these types of lights, you also have the choice between the magnetic type of ballast, the older type of lights that have been around for years, or you can go with the newer technology, which is digital ballast. Me, I still like the magnetic ones just because they'll last longer. It's a much more durable device. They'll last you for years and years. I've heard of them lasting from 5 to 10, even 15, 20 years. I'm not saying the digital ballasts, you know, I'm not saying that they're bad. I like the magnetic ballasts. I think that they, especially if you're on a budget and you have to start off buying used equipment, magnetic would be the way to go. The digital ballasts, they're great in theory. You know, it says that they use half the amount of amps, and so it's going to use half the amount of electricity. I mean, this is not entirely true. Basically, it's not half the amount of energy. The ballast does run more efficiently. It also runs on a higher frequency. I believe that it's like 60,000 hertz is a frequency. I don't remember what it is. So it is indeed a much more efficient lamp. You get more light for your electricity. It's about 10 to 20% realistically. A lot of manufacturers are going to exaggerate about that. And the other benefit of the digital is that they run cooler. They don't produce as much heat. That's a big advantage. Heat is a major factor in a garden. And you always want to, anything that you can do to cut heat down is great. Digital ballasts, they also have the added benefit of not flickering. Sometimes you can't really tell, but when you're running a magnetic ballast, your light flickers a little bit. The electricity isn't a current flow. Since it's drawing so much amperage, it's hard for it to just keep it constant. And so your light's constantly flickering and with the waves of the power that surge through your circuits. With the digital ballast, from what I hear, is basically that it's going to store a lot of the energy before it sends it out. So it's going to be a constant glow that it's putting out over your garden, and it's not going to flicker. And if you think about it, every time it flickers, you're losing light. That's, you know, that's light loss to the plant. And if you add up all the flickers throughout the day going to that plant, I'm sure it adds up to a decent amount of light energy that you're losing. That's another great benefit of the digital ballast. Now, if you do go digital ballast, they're not going to last as long. Anytime you're talking about newer technology, you have to be a little bit weary. Things aren't going to last long. There's a lot more parts, a lot more things to go wrong with it. So just pay attention to that. You know, be careful. Do some research. Make sure that you're getting some good warranties on your lights, any light that you buy. Usually a magnetic one should get at least next 3 to 5 years. The electronic ones, I think I've only seen about 1 to 2 year warranties on those. Probably because the manufacturers know that they don't have a very long lifespan. If you do go the digital route, I would check out Polestart. I'm a big fan of what, in theory, what they're saying. They don't use high pressure sodium. They use only metal halide. And the reason why they do that is because the high pressure sodium is not a very efficient light. It puts out a lot more intensity than a metal halide does, but it's not a very good spectrum that it puts out. And the Polestar, they have a different spectrum bulb that you can use. They have even though it's a metal halide, they have one that's like 2700K, and then they have one that's like a general 400K, and then they have an awesome like 6500K, which is like extreme on the blue end, perfect for vegging. So that's a really cool product, I think, with the digital ballast, and I've heard some good things about it. Something you might want to check out. And again, like what I was saying there about the metal halide, this is, some people are going to argue with me about this, but I'm a big fan. I really am. I have used metal halide in flowering my plants before, and you can just tell that the spectrum the plant is getting, it's healthier, and it also has an awesome benefit that's going to keep your plant much shorter than it would under a high pressure sodium. So since the lights are so expensive, you might want to consider just using one light. If you were to use one light, I recommend metal halide. They also run a lot cooler than a high pressure sodium. Not a lot of people know that. Now, like I said, they aren't as intense. When you talk about light intensity, you're talking about something called lumens. And for example, a 600 watt high pressure sodium light has about 60 to 90,000 lumens, and a 600 watt metal halide light is only about 45,000 lumens. So as you can see, you're losing some intensity of the light when you use metal halide, but you make up for that intensity loss with a wonderful spectrum that is more efficient for the plant. The plant's going to use more of that light that it's getting than it would from the high pressure sodium. They're also, nowadays, they have what's called a dual arc light bulb, which it's basically one light bulb, a 600 watt one. It runs off of a high pressure sodium ballast, and it's one light bulb that has high pressure sodium built into it and metal halide. The 600 one, I think, has a 400 watt high pressure sodium and like a 200 watt metal halide built into the bulb. So that gives your plant a really good full spectrum, but also gives your plant a good intense light. There are other types of lights out there. Fluorescents. I love fluorescents. They stay really cool, and they're very versatile. They're great for your clones and your seedlings. You can get them in lots of different varieties. You have the T8 shop light. Highly recommend that. You can get it from Walmart. It's only $10. It's a dual. It has two bulbs, and it's a T8 light. They're great. And anytime you use fluorescents, get the 6500K light. That's the best one to get. You could even, you know, if you're on a budget, don't think that you have to spend $1 million. You can flower under fluorescent lights. There's nothing wrong with that. You just got to make sure that you keep your plant really, really short, and that you also keep the light really, really, really close to your plant. But you can do it. You know, I've seen it done. You can get decent quality off of it, but you're not going to get a decent yield. It's not going to be that efficient. Nowadays, they also have the newer technology out there is LEDs. From what I've seen so far, the LEDs they're getting really, really good, actually. Nowadays, they have LEDs that can actually do the whole life cycle of the plant, meaning you can go through vegetation and flowering. It'll finish flowering. So you should look into the LEDs. You know, they're actually getting better. They could be indeed the future. A lot of people are very controversial about the LEDs, but from what I've seen, it's decent. I mean, I've seen it grow on one of the message boards. It was a side-by-side test, and in one room they had a 250 watt high pressure sodium light bulb, and in the other room they had a 205 watt LED light. Excuse me, it was actually a 400 watt HPS on one side and then a 200 watt LED light on the other. And you could look this up. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and just give you guys the facts on this because it's people are always wondering what's up with the LEDs. This is what you do. Go to Google, type in between sun and moon LED, and it'll pop it right up. You can read all about the side-by-side comparison. I'm just going to give you a little summary of what happened. Okay, so this grower basically divided the room in half. It's just one room, same room, and he put a nice little divider in between both sides. So you got the HPS on one side, the LED on the other. He's growing 6 plants all together, 3 on each side. He ended up throwing a couple of extra other ones in flowering too. And it's like both these plants were already vegged out. They're about a foot tall. That's a good time to start flowering when you're indoors. And they're bushed out pretty good. You can tell that this grower has topped his plants a few times so that they got a little bushy. And so what he's growing them side by side, the same strains. There's 3 different plants. He has Sour Diesel, Sugar Shack, and Chem Dog number 4. So throughout the growth, I mean, basically, the LEDs started flowering first. They think it's the spectrum. The LED gave the plant a better spectrum, and they started flowering first on the LED side for sure. Now, also, the LED side genuinely seemed a little bit more perky than the HPS side. It was a lot cooler on that side. The LEDs put out pretty much zero heat, so that might have a lot to do with it. And you can kind of see that the LEDs also kept the plant much more compact than the HPS side. So the LEDs are really good at keeping the plants really compact. You know, you're not getting a super penetration, but you are getting a really good spectrum that the plant is enjoying, and just keeping it really, really short, which is good, because if you don't have a good penetration, you definitely want to keep your plant short. So if you are doing LED, you have to use LED throughout and just keep your plant as short as possible. Okay, so I'm just looking through all the thread right now, the little side-by-side. I'm looking at these plants, and I mean, they're both sides are doing really good. Okay, here's a great side-by-side picture. Looks like they're about 2 weeks into flowering, and you could obviously see that the HPS side has about 20% more budding sites and is about 3% bigger than the LED side. However, the LED side, the growth looks more lush. The leaves are greener. There's a lot less stretching going on. Now I'm looking at the pictures. He's getting pretty late into flowering. He's at like day 39 here, and you could definitely see the HPS side has got way fatter nugs, but the LED side, it's less, but it looks a little bit more frosty, and it also looks a little bit more dense. Let's take a look. But here's one where the LED looks fatter than the HPS side, but pretty even, very even. I mean, they're neck and neck. This guy's using the Flora series, General Hydroponics Flora series. It's a good lineup. All right, here's a good Sour Diesel side by side right here. Wow, they're so close. I can barely tell a difference. If you're following along with me, look at post number 133. He's at day 48, and these two Sour Diesels are just, they look identical. Maybe HPS is about 4% bigger buds than the LED side. Wow, just, this is the best side-by-side I've ever seen with LEDs. LED side's making the plants go purple, where the HPS side isn't doing it as much. Could, again, have a lot to do with just a cooler temperature on that side that with the LEDs, but they're noticeably more purple. I think this grower didn't even know that his strain here, this plant, had any purple in it. So, very interesting there. That might have been just the spectrum of the lighting he was getting too that caused that plant to do that. So here we are. Here we are at the end of it. This grower harvested, and I'm looking at the final weight. Looks like we got about 564 grams on the HPS side. 452. No, excuse me. It's not in grams, it's in ounces. This picture is a little bit bad. So I'm guessing 5.64 ounces for the high pressure sodium, 4.52 ounces for the LED. And that's just one plant. So that's almost exactly 1 ounce less from the LED. But I mean, you have to remember here, they're using half the amount of wattage, and all you're losing is 1 ounce. That's pretty freaking efficient, and for a lot of people that don't have very much space, LEDs could be a great option for you. Another great product to consider that They have the Leo has the technology where they can actually use a heat sensor on your property to look for any sort of heat exhausting through your windows and heat exhausting building up into your attic and stuff like that. And I mean, they can use that in court. I mean, they have to have a warrant to get it, but from what I understand, cops are doing it anyway. So with the LED, you're not gonna have that problem. I doubt you would have any kind of heat problem at all. You could just pop that thing in there, just make sure you get some fresh air, and you're good to go. That's all you need. So that's pretty nifty. And again, I mean, it's so that you're gonna get a bigger yield from HPS, but it looks like if you're comparing your yield per watt efficiency wise, the LEDs are more efficient per watt that you're using. You're getting let's see here. Okay, here we go. I just did the math. It's gonna be 0.8 grams per watt for the HPS, and then 0.12 grams per watt. And that right there is factual. I got this, you know, right off from this guy's comparison. 12 grams a watt with the LED, 8 grams a watt with the HPS. If you ask me, LEDs have an awesome potential and it can only get better from here. So keep an eye out for that. If you're on your computer, if you're following along with me, you found the thread here that I was telling you about. It's on icmag.com. While you're there, why don't you just go ahead and register? Become a member. Go through the board. There's some sticky places that you should read that are going to give you some great information that'll help you grow some awesome herb. However, I do want to mention that this place isn't my favorite message board. There's some definite drama that goes on. Gypsy Nirvana is arguably a shady character. He's the one who runs this place, so just be careful on this one. I still like to use it just because it's a large community. So I mean, there's lots of people on it, lots of people to answer questions for you. And you gotta also check out the growreport.com. That's a very, very awesome place. Just the friendliest bunch of people over at the Grow Report. You can get some online gangsters or bullies, as I like to call them, on the ICM International Conographer magazine website. You know, I've been in some disputes with a couple of people. Not too uncommon, you know. Anytime you have people just trying to preach nonsense that they think is right, you know, you're gonna butt heads with people. So just watch out for some of those type of bullies going around. But again, it's worth it. It's worth the hassle. A lot of information. You don't have to worry about any kind of bullies at the Grow Report. From what I've seen, it's a really nice, laid back community that you have to become a member of. So those are the types of lights that you can use that are out there. Of course, there's more types of lights. You got halogen light bulbs. You've got an incandescent light bulb. Don't use those. If you do that, you are just pretty much just being a foolish person right there, because that's just going to be a waste of time. You cannot grow cannabis under any kind of incandescent or halogen light bulb. So what do you do with your lights? You know, what you're going to do is you're going to start your seed under a fluorescent light. You can start it under a metal halide. You just got to keep it about 28 inches away from the plant. And you only want to use like a 200 or a 400 watt metal halide. As your plant gets bigger, you want to get it to about a foot tall. And the more light you get it, the denser that plant's gonna get. So try to put that metal halide light onto the plant. That metal halide is gonna keep it shorter and a lot more dense. During these two stages of growth, the seedling and the vegetation stage, you want to keep your light on 16, 18, or 24 hours a day. Then that's when you can move on over to your flowering state, which you can be using the high pressure sodium or a metal halide, or you definitely want to use a high intensity light during flowering. I mean, you can get away with using fluorescents or LEDs for vegetation, but if you really, really want some good yields that aren't gonna waste your time, just go with high intensity. Like I said, if you're on a budget, you just want to grow something, you know, it's just some personal amount. You can flower with the fluorescence, you know, and in order to do what you do, in order to make your plant start flowering and producing your buds, you just put your light. You get a light timer and you set that light to 12 hours of light on and 12 hours of dark. And what happens is that the darkness, it's not the light that triggers the plant into flowering. It's the period of darkness that makes that plant start flowering. It's going to trick the plant into thinking that it's winter time, which is when the flowering life cycle of the plant begins, so that it can reproduce. Burn that one into your memory. 12 hours of light, 12 hours of dark equals flowering time. This is how you induce your flowering stage of growth. Let's move on to the product of the week part of the show. Today we have two products for the week. And since we've been talking about lighting and seedlings, our product of the week is going to be lighting related. What it is it's a fluorescent light that you can buy at most local Wally Worlds and hardware stores. And it's made by Lights of America. It comes in a 13-inch and a 23-inch size. And it says that it's an under-cabinet fluorescent on the package. That's all that it says. And the cost for both sizes is roughly about $10. Now, when you inspect this product further, you'll see that it actually says T5 on the light bulb. And this is amazing deal for a T5 light, especially the 2-foot T5 light for only $10. Now, the bulb that it comes with isn't the best bulb around. I mean, you can use that bulb if you're just doing some seedlings and you're not trying to veg with it. But if you're doing more with the bulb, you're going to want to upgrade that bulb. And you can find stronger bulbs on the internet. You're going to want a higher wattage than the one that it comes with. So guys, check that out. That's an amazing deal. They have a 13-inch and a 24-inch T5 fluorescent. And the cool thing is they're actually linkable. You can easily link multiple ones together. So the way I use these is I have a shelving unit, and on each shelf I might have a couple clones, or I have one shelf that's just for seedlings, and I have a shelf just devoted to mothers. So, I mean, this is a perfect tool for that job. Highly recommend that you check that out. Now for our second product, since we're talking about T5 fluorescents, this product is for all you do-it-yourselfers. And it comes to you from a company called Fulham. And it goes by the Fulham Workhorse number 5. And this is a T5 high output fluorescent ballast. So basically this is the engine that's behind the fluorescent that makes the fluorescent work. And if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you're familiar with electricity and you do your own wiring and stuff like that, you can save a ton of money setting up your own T5 lighting system using this ballast right here. If you look online, you can find them for as cheap as $25. And this is a powerful unit. It can run 2 to 4 24-watt high output T5 fluorescents. Or you can run up to 3 39-watt T5 fluorescents. Or you could run 2 54-watt fluorescents. So this is a really awesome ballast. I mean, I would probably want to run it in the 4x24-watt type of setting. T5s are pretty good. They got pretty decent penetration. So this is a really good deal. All you would need to buy is the ballast and then also the little clips that you clip the bulbs onto. And then you would also need to buy the bulbs. And basically just solder everything together, you know, hook up a power cord, set them up in whatever you're using that you're growing in, like a shelf, or you could even make something out of wood to house everything. And there you go, you're all set. You have, I think that a 4x24-watt T5 fluorescent system usually runs about $200 to $300, so you could probably accomplish that if you're doing it yourself with this ballast for about $50 to $100. I mean, that's a really good deal. And that's one thing we're going to be about on this show, is just doing it yourself. That's a great way to save a lot of money. That's one tip that I'd like to stress a lot, is just anything that you could do yourself, more power to you. That's phenomenal. All right, everybody. So that's today's show. That's show number 3. Next show, we'll be talking a little bit more about equipment. We'll talk more about lighting a little bit, and we'll also start getting into some ventilation, and we'll talk about how you're going to start putting all this together in your room or in your closet or in your little cabinet that you'll be growing in. Whatever you'll be using, we'll talk about how to lay it out and get the right sized equipment, because you're going to want the right size tool for the right job. That's very important. And so we'll talk about how to just get everything set up, and that'll be on the next show. Again, thanks for listening to the Organic Grow Show. My name was Denny Dang. Peace out.